Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.
So Arsenal still 2-1 down away at Rennes in the first leg of their Europa League last 16 tie. There's 8 minutes left in that. But we want to reflect on the Champions League. What a week it has been, in particular for Manchester United and for Ajax on Tuesday night. John Giles is alongside me in studio. How are you keeping?
Good, Nathan.
We were just chatting about the drama of the Champions League from last season and some of the comebacks we saw in the knockout stages, some of the performances from Liverpool in the knockout stages, what Barcelona were able to do, what Juventus were able to do, Real Madrid last season, and then the drama we've had for the last couple of nights. Like, is it a recency bias that we suddenly think everything is better now than it was back in the day? Or do you watch games like that and think, we didn't have drama like this years ago. We didn't have as many goals. Is there anything in
well,
that?
I think there is more emphasis now to talk about playing out from the back in that, Nathan, you know? But to be fair, like in my day particularly, and it's gone back a long time, you didn't have the coverage. You know, we see all the matches now and we can tape them and we can do all sorts of things. So you can see exactly what's happening. I'd say there was always drama. There's no doubt about that. Particularly in what was then the European Cup. Like, I'm getting the European Cup, but it was a knockout competition. So you didn't even get a chance to lose a match, as it were. But I think there's more emphasis now on keeping the ball, which is good sometimes, not so good other times. But also that we actually can see the matches. Like years ago, there'd be one match on at the most, and you might get highs and you wouldn't see what was going on. But I think there was always drama, definitely, of different types.
What about the drama then last night? Manchester United supporters, I've seen, have put this in their top five European nights of all time.
Yeah.
Was this a masterclass from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? Was this further confirmation that he deserves the managerial job on a permanent basis? Or was this just pure luck that they somehow survived?
Well, I think it'd be a combination of a few particular things on the night. I mean, first of all, it was so dramatic because hardly anybody, I didn't meet anybody, that expected United to do it. And I think Paris Saint-Germain were taking it very, very much for granted. I think there was no urgency about their play. Mbappe, who we know is a very, very good player, I think was out there to try and do a few tricks and to be the star man. Not totally unprofessional. From United's point of view, first of all, they had honesty. All the players that were out there, and a lot of players missing, as we know, they were out there to have a go, and they were having a real go. As far as the tactical situation, I don't think it was a great tactical situation from the manager, to be quite honest, Solskjaer. Because if you go at the start of the match, the first 15, 20 minutes, he had Young playing in the middle of the field.
Eric Bailly playing at right back.
He was playing sort of midfield, centre-back, like a back three.
Right.
But he wasn't playing at right back, Nathan. They were wide open for the first 15, 20 minutes of the game down the left-hand side. He got the goal from that. You know, he was lost. He was lost. And that was a bad tactical switch, but they had a great bit of luck in that. Bailly got injured.
You think he got injured, not that he just hobbled off because he saw the substitutes board going up?
I don't know.
You're not as cynical as me.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if he did that.
Yeah.
I've seen players of my day did that, getting the card and they were hopping off.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, he went off. And it took them, if it was a tactical switch, it took them a long time to do it. In fact, they shouldn't have started with that. Mm. But anyway, that's going on a negative tomorrow. I don't want to be negative to them because it was a great night for them. But if you're talking about the tactical situation, that wasn't the case because Young got back to right back and they were a different team. They didn't have that. They weren't exposed on the left-hand side as they were when Bailly was on. They actually scored from that particular side. So it wasn't a tactical great thing. It was what it was. It was lads having a go against a team that, in my opinion, were complacent. Mm. I think they thought they had it won, and they didn't play in a professional manner whatsoever. You know, if you go back to the first goal that they conceded, that was they were playing across the back there, and it's only was in the first 2 minutes, but they never tried to get beyond the halfway line.
Yeah.
And then they made it, which they don't normally do, and then they had loads and loads of possession of the ball, you know, but they had nobody wide to take advantage. Our player, Alves, for example. He was playing as right wing back, but he hit more of the ball than the right winger.
Yeah.
But of course, every time he got the ball, he wasn't going to beat anybody. He was going in, they were starting all over again. And I think they were content to do that. You know, they weren't really having a go at Manchester United, and Manchester United took full advantage of it. They were well organised after the first 20 minutes. They had a go. All of them were honest in what they were doing, and that's your starting point. So,
is that a complacency you feel from Paris Saint-Germain built on having it way too easy in their domestic league, that they're not used to games of this intensity, that you have to take your chances, that if you make a mistake, it'll more than likely be punished?
Well, there could be a case for that, but don't forget, they went to Old Trafford and won 2-0. You know, they did that, and that's usually the hard work done. And, you know, that has nothing to do with the domestic league, you know, because they win quite easily in the domestic league from what we know. But Old Trafford was a big match for them. They come away with a 2-0. I think they then got complacent over that particular result, as well as probably winning every match in they play in their in their own domestic league. It could well be that, but they were certainly complacent in it. And I believe they thought they had it won. And they were very, very casual in the way. And then, of course, don't forget, if it hadn't been for the penalty, Nathan, they would have got through. You know,
and we'd be sitting here wondering why he started Eric Bailly in the position he did and questioning.
Exactly. Once you win, you win. I mean, I'm trying to analyse as best you can. I'm not a Manchester United supporter. I've nothing against them. I don't care about any of the teams, really. So I'm only telling you as I see it. But certainly, if the penalty decision hadn't been given near the end, you'd say, well, Paris Saint-Germain weren't good, but they got through. Well, the fact is they didn't.
Before we get on to the penalty then, this run that Manchester United are on, 9 straight wins away from home under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, part of me makes it think that maybe we spend too much time talking tactics, because it feels as though what he's done is no great change in tactics. It's just powers of motivation, giving players belief, reinstilling some confidence in young players that have been beaten down under Jose Mourinho.
Yes.
Or is that not giving him enough credit for what he's done tactically as well?
I think it's a mixture, Nathan, of it. Obviously, there's always different elements to it. I'd say one of the major elements to it is, my experience in football, that when a manager like Mourinho was in the position he was in, and he was obviously abusing the players and publicly abusing the players and that, the players wanted to get rid of him, right? Now, when that happens with the players then want to prove that it was the manager that was at fault. So they start picking it up and actually play better than they did before. And they got a guy like Solskjaer coming in who seems to be a gentle type of lad who, as he says, plays with a smile on his face, which I think is a lot of nonsense, put his arm around the players. This is a different situation to Mourinho, right? And what happens is, with managers, you can be coming in to the right environment for you. You know what I mean? You can get a manager coming to a certain environment and it's the wrong environment, he won't do anything. It's happened a lot of time with managers. I think in this situation, Solskjaer is a great appointment for his demeanour. He's pally with the players. Not pally with the players, but he's softer than... And he says, go out and play. He's not abusing players publicly like Mourinho is doing. So I'd say the players actually hated Mourinho, right? And when they got rid of him, or he was sacked, they thought, okay, now we've got to prove he was at fault. It wasn't us, which they have done. And I think Solskjaer is the perfect man for that. You know, now tactically, you could talk about all the tactics you want last night, but it still goes back to that penalty decision. And I said tactically early on, it wasn't good at all. So I don't think it was his tactical nous that won him the match. He did get it right at the right back position before it was too late. But when you come to the extra time and the penalty decision, then it's down to that. Now, they did exceptionally well, Manchester United, there's no doubt, because a lot of top players were injured.
Yeah, sure.
They were missing with suspension, all the various things. So I'm not trying to run down what he's doing, Nathan. I think he's done a great job. You couldn't ask for any more than he's done. And I think it was a great appointment for him because he was an ideal person and personality to come in that particular situation.
It's a difficult situation now for Ed Woodward to remove the emotion of what's happening with Solskjaer and sit down and logically think out, well, there was a reason why Mauricio Pochettino would have been the number one target 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Pochettino's done very little wrong since then. Obviously, he had maybe one blip against Burnley, but he's done very little wrong. Yet Solskjaer, everybody, all the Manchester United supporters, they feel the link to the class in 92, of the Champions League win in 99. They feel this emotion could sustain them past the next few months. Do you think as a CEO of Manchester United, he just has to go with the wave of emotion?
Well, you're asking me one question. Would he go because of CEO, or is it the right thing to do? I think as a CEO, he'll go with the popular view because he's doing well. Now, if you're looking at it from the outside, from the club's point of view, And if you, the big decision would be, if we could get Pochettino, should I get him? He won't be so popular, but is he the right man? Now, that's the big problem. Now, in the CEO's case, I think they're more inclined to go with the popular choice. But if you put it on the table now, and if I'll ask you the question, if you were in that position and you could get Pochettino, would you take him in front of Solskjaer?
I think it's very hard to look long term in football anymore. And when you are riding the crest of a wave, particularly probably with the pressure Ed Woodward's been under, it's hard to turn your back. Like, imagine he takes Pochettino and 3 months in.
Are you going to answer me the question, Nathan?
I'd give it a Solskjaer.
Well, I wouldn't be so sure. At this particular time, I'd probably go with Pochettino.
Right.
To be quite honest. And I think he couldn't. There's no doubt Solskjaer couldn't have done any more than he's done. But I say to people, and I think my opinion is that he's ideal for the man at this particular time. Because in many ways, it's not real management. You know what I mean, Nathan? Like, the players are with him, they go with him, they've got to prove Martino. But Whaley has to leave a player out. Whaley has to do this. Whaley has to give them the hard word.
Sell one of their mates.
Yeah, sell. You don't. This is because. Or else they stay with the same staff they've got and continue to go. But I'm not so sure that situation where it's a bit of a novelty, and I don't mean that in a cruel way, for the players to be having what they're having in the Mourinho, is that going to last?
Yeah.
Now, because there's sometimes you're on a run now where you're winning, and when you're on a run when you win, the manager has to do very little and say very little, you know, because everything is going right. It's when things go slightly wrong that you have to leave a player out and do it. And that's when, now, whether it ever gets to that situation, I don't know whether Solskjaer could handle that or not. I think Pochettino definitely could. So it is. I wouldn't like to be making the decision myself, to be honest, because the crowd will, and they love, so they like him anyway. He's a popular guy coming in. I think he's been ideal for what was needed at this particular time. The question is he the man to go from there? And I think Pochettino has proven in his career so far that he's capable of doing that and what he's done at Spurs. We don't know if Solskjaer can do that.
Before we take a break, you touched on the penalty, and ultimately that was the winning of the game. Was it a penalty for you?
I didn't think so. It's very, very difficult to know now exactly what the rules are, Nathan. You know, there was a couple of weeks ago when there was a controversial decision with Manchester City, for example, in Schalke, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I read the referee's thing the next day, and it certainly, well, I haven't got it with me, but it sounded different to the summing up from the referee last night on the telly. I didn't think he was very good. I mean, what he was saying was, well, he turned his back on the ball. Well, what's his defender? What's he? Like, the ball is 15, 20 yards away. And the best way he could get the height that he wanted was to jump in a certain way and turn his back on it. But you'd have to say, and the old days used to say, did he intend to handle the ball? That was the criteria. Did he intend to handle the ball? Well, I think there was no way that lad last night intended to handle the ball. Because he couldn't even see where the ball was. He had his back to it.
Yeah. What they say is that the following must be considered: the movement of the hand towards the ball, not the ball towards the hand.
Yeah, but he didn't see the ball. How could he move his hand towards the ball? I mean, you see people say, well, he's hit his hand. Well, what do you do with your hands? If you're a defender, Nathan, and again, it's a bit like the winger coming up to the fullback and he whacks against the fella. And
they said when VAR was being introduced, the head of the UEFA referees, Robert Rossetti, said that they would penalise any unnatural arm movement that makes contact with the ball. And basically, if you're making your body bigger with your arm to block the ball, that you'd be penalised.
Well, I say to people, what do you do with your arms then?
Keep them down by your side.
Well, how can you jump? If I said to you in this bed, stand up there now and jump as high as you can, and your hands down by your side.
Well, then you just have to accept you can't jump as high.
But then you're not defending. You know, I think it's nonsense that, to be quite honest, Nathan. The old days used to be intentional. And I agree with that. It has to be intentional. But if you look at that fella last night, he didn't even see the ball. You know, he's jumping up as high as he possibly can, and he's hoping that it'll hit him somewhere along the line. And it happened to hit him on the arm. But what does he do? Chop his arms off before he jumps up? You know, it's part and parcel of it. And the Manchester City one, what the referee was saying, the ball has to be gone, your arm has to be gone towards the ball.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at that last night, his arm wasn't going towards the ball. He was just jumping and he had his back, couldn't even see the ball. I thought it was a poor decision. Actually, I think it's getting to the stage now with the handball situation that it mightn't be a bad move to say, any handball inside the penalty area is
intentional or not as a penalty.
Yeah, yeah. Because
I hope it evens itself out.
Well, it will even itself out because, what we're talking about last night wasn't a penalty; it was another penalty. Some people say, "Well, he did this and he did that." Some other people would say, "It was one." The three lads that I was watching last night, and they tell you, three of them said they didn't think it was a penalty, but the referee that came on then later on had a different version of it altogether. Right. So, as we know, some you get, some you don't get. That's what they say in football. But if you had a situation where you said, "Oh, cut out all the speculation. Was it or wasn't? Did it hit his hand? Was it a handball penalty?" And everybody's to live with that. No good moaning, and you would get moaning this week, and you got it last week. But I think overall, the way we're going at the moment, nobody's agreeing on it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Arsenal beaten 3-1 by Rennes in the Europa League. Rennes got a third goal late on, totally dominated that match. Socrates was sent off in the first half for Arsenal, so they'll have it all to do next Thursday at the Emirates. The other big story in the Champions League then was Real Madrid, winners four times in the last 5 years, dumped out by this young, energetic, brilliant Ajax side, which was a fairy tale story in itself. But Real Madrid's demise this season, and well, we know what happened with Lopetegui and the way he arrived in from Spain and seemed to unsettle things. But ultimately, it feels as though this comes down to no Ronaldo, no Zidane, no success.
Yeah, well, it's bound to. Well, when I think when you lose a player like Ronaldo or Messi, say, it has to be, it's not good unless you replace him with another superstar, and that hasn't happened. And where do you get them anyway? Mm. So and especially with Zidane gone, now you're into a double whammy, really. You're losing Ronaldo and Zidane, so now you're going into a new manager and a new team, and it's very, very difficult for any manager, unless he's a really, really, really top guy, to continue doing what they did. I think Zidane was very, very clever getting out when he got out, Nathan. You know, they'd won, what is it, the Champions League?
Four of the last five. Well, he'd won it 3 years in a row.
3 years in the row. What more can you do? And he knows Ronaldo's gone. The team is getting a bit older. Mm. So it's like all great, the great teams only last a certain period. And the great managers like Ferguson at Manchester United used to replenish in his best years before they got too old. You know what I mean? They didn't
strengthen from a position of strength.
Oh, yeah. And that's the best way to do it. And to be honest, like if you look at Real Madrid over the last few years, they didn't do that. Mm. Despite the fact they knew Ronaldo was in that, like the ideal situation for Barcelona or any of the top teams is to get the best in before Ronaldo even goes.
Yeah.
And they haven't done that, so they're paying the price. But I must say, Ajax were brilliant. Wasn't Tadic was played?
Southampton.
Like I saw him at Southampton, he didn't do anything. He was brilliant the other night. He played on the left, right wing, coming in. He's absolutely brilliant. He laid on goals, he scored goals. I never saw him doing that for. But Ajax were good. I mean, they were good. They were good. It wasn't a fluke by any means.
No, and do you look at Ajax and already Frankie de Jong is going to Barcelona in the summer. Matthijs de Ligt, the centre half, has been linked with everybody from Barcelona to Manchester City to Real Madrid for 70, 80 million. Like, do you look at the way European football is in something of despair of Ajax can't progress from here? They can't kick on over the next couple of years because they're going to lose their best players to these super clubs?
It's the way of the world, Nathan. You see, like years ago, my time and afterwards, you didn't have freedom of contract. There just wasn't freedom of contract. So the club then had you that way. In my day, you'd sign a three-year contract. And the three-year contract is up and you go and talk to one terms with the manager and you can't agree terms. And he said, "Well, I'm not playing for you anymore." That's okay. You can't play for anybody else. Now the players are in the position where they say, "I'm going."
Yeah.
And they can do nothing about it. So and it all comes back to the financial situation. I mean, the fact is in Holland they don't have the big money that you have in Spain and that. So they can produce these young players. Now years ago, before you had the freedom of contract, the likes of Cruyff and these guys in the early days, they couldn't leave the club even if they wanted if they wanted to leave. They couldn't leave. The club would say no. So you can build a team. Now and around the world, you can't build a team now with young players. Because you got a young player, one of these lads you mentioned, and he's 17 when he signs, right? It's a 3-year contract. He gets 20. He's an outstanding player. Ajax can't say, "You've got to." He said, "I'm not signing for you anymore."
Yeah.
So you can't build a team because they'll go where the money is and they'll go to Spain or where are they supposed to be going? Spain or Manchester City.
And I guess also Ajax don't want to build a team. They probably want to get the 70 or 80 million.
They don't have a choice, Nathan. I'd say a lot of the clubs would say, "Well, we've got to build a team because we get into Champions League, we'll do well and we'll do that." But the players have the agents now and they just say, "Well, whether you like it or not, I'm going. Right? And sometimes don't get any money for it.
Yeah. Just briefly before we let you go then, because player we probably raved about more than anybody else over the last couple of years is Luka Modric, who's still at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And seems to have had a real struggle this season. What do you put that down to? Like, he's, what, 33 at this stage? He had a long World Cup with Croatia. Is it just the years catching up, or is it a mental thing when you see Ronaldo and Zidane going and it's hard to get back up?
I wouldn't say it was a physical thing or a mental thing, Nathan. You see, when you're playing football at that level, well, any level, you're only as good as the players you play with. Football is not an individual game. This is not tennis or golf where you go out. You need people around you to play. Now, what I saw of Modric the other night was absolutely excellent. He's not doing anything that he didn't do before. It's just that it's not going as well because he doesn't have Ronaldo and he doesn't have these players. You know, you get the best player in the world and put him in a bad team, he could look a bad player.
Yeah.
You know, you need people. You need people. Like, Ronaldo needed him. He needed Ronaldo. That's why the players are doing different jobs. They just don't. I think obviously Real Madrid have gone what they were.
Yeah.
But it's not Modric's fault. I think he looks fit. He looks well. I thought he played really well the other night under the circumstances. Because you need players around you. Nobody can do it on their own. That's why football is such a great game in that particular way. You get a team together. And there's a team spirit. And there's all the various things that make the great teams. But the individual players, they can't do it on their own. Nobody. If you put Ronaldo in a poor team, he'd be good.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't be doing as he's doing now.
He wouldn't do it by himself.
No.
John Grisoff.
Thanks Nathan.
A lot for coming in the studio this evening. That'll all be up on offtheball.com. Arsenal then beaten 3-1 by Rennes in the Europa League. We'll chat more about that on the football show. Up next, though, we'll be talking hurling.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.